Turn with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19. After taking off approximately 2 months, starting with the Advent series, we're returning to Luke, and we're taking it up in the 19th chapter, Luke 19, where we find Zacchaeus. And we're going to be reading the first 10 verses of Luke chapter 19 that's found on page 1017. Luke chapter 19, entitled Zacchaeus the Tax Collector. Luke 19, Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he could not because of the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today." So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." But Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I have cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man, too, is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save what was lost." And that's as far as reading in God's word. May he add his blessing and increase upon it. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we know these very well-known words at the end of our text, that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost, but sometimes we're shocked when we see the ones whom Jesus Christ came to seek and to save. Sometimes Jesus saves the most surprising people. We're unexpected by the ones he chooses to save. Our passage opens in Luke 19 as Jesus is traveling through Jericho. He is firmly focused. He has one direction, and that is to Jerusalem. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, knowing that it is in Jerusalem that he's going to lay down his life for the sake of his people. This city of palms, Jericho, was very well known. It was destroyed during the times of Joshua. And as it was in the days of Joshua, there is going to be found in our text a believing remnant. There is a contrast that takes place in Jericho. And you might remember this from Joshua chapter 6. There is the wicked man Achan. The wicked man Achan stole things from Jericho, brings a curse upon himself and the entire congregation because of his idolatry, his greed in stealing and taking that which did not belong to him. That's one aspect of Jericho. Another aspect of Jericho was believing Rahab, who was snatched from the fire and brought into the kingdom. So here, traveling once again through this very well-known and rich with history location, we ask ourselves the question, what sort of experience are we going to have today? On the doorsteps of Jerusalem, we are going to find that the hope of the world, the hope of the nations, not only the hope of Israel, but the hope of the nations, is revealing himself in Jesus Christ. We're going to look at this theme that Jesus Christ calls Zacchaeus out of the tree in order to bring salvation to his house. I'll say that one more time. Jesus calls Zacchaeus out of the tree in order to bring salvation to his house. In our first point, we find an abnormal desire. What would make this man willing to go to such lengths in order to see, to hear, to fellowship with Jesus Christ? What must be his motivation? What was on his mind? What was he thinking that we'd go to so much trouble just to catch a passing glimpse of this traveling prophet? What do we know about this man? Well, we know that this man, Zacchaeus, is identified in verse 2 as a rich chief tax collector. He is a tax collector, not only any ordinary tax collector, he is a chief tax collector. In this particular location in Jericho, it was where a lot of roads conversed and came together before leading up to Jerusalem. It was a very prosperous location for the collecting of taxes. Now, being a tax collector in this day and age, in the day in which this passage was written, it was a hated occupation. Now, there is nothing wrong with working for the IRS today, but even when you hear of that, there's this stigma, isn't there? Oh, you work for the IRS. Oh, okay. But it was way worse back in this day and age because tax collectors were collecting revenue for the Roman government. The Roman government was an oppressive state. Jewish people hated the Romans because the Romans were an imposing force. They were an army of unclean outsiders who occupied their land. And here we have Zacchaeus who has aligned himself with this occupying army. To catch a kind of a glimpse of what that would be like is put yourself back during the Second World War. Imagine you're living in the Netherlands and you come to find out that your neighbor is a collaborator. He's working with the Germans against, he's betraying his own fellow countrymen. That's kind of how they would view this Zacchaeus. You love money and you love the enemy more than you love your own people. They were hated. But added to the fact that he was working for and with the Romans, he was rich by unjust gain. The tax collectors during this time were not only given a specific amount that they could charge, they were allowed to charge an excess amount and keep whatever excess they gained. Imagine this for a moment. If you're paying your taxes and the person who you're paying your taxes to does not have a fixed rate that he is charging you, he is free to charge you as much as he can get out of you and keep whatever he would charge. They were known as, Luke 3 verse 13 says, to overcharge those who were paying there. They were oppressing the people. They were a burden. They were lining their own pockets. They were thieves at the expense of the common people and the merchants. It's kind of like the story in the news from this past couple weeks of Senator Sandoval, who in this conspiracy with a red light camera company was taking bribes and lined his own pockets to the tune of $250,000 at the expense of the common tax-paying people. When we hear stories like this of what Senator Sandoval went through, we love to hear them being caught. We revel in the fact he is getting what he deserves, which is not mercy, it's justice. That's what we want when we're coming up to Zacchaeus. We, sinfully speaking, are looking for the hammer to fall. Zacchaeus is going to be exposed. But it doesn't happen in the way that we are expecting. We're expecting this swindler to get swift justice, but this Zacchaeus, who is a wee little man, wants to see Jesus. He wants to see the Christ. And perhaps the word has spread. Jesus is unlike every other person on the face of the earth. He was kind to those social outcasts. Yes, Zacchaeus was despised by others, but Jesus was different. Now, we have to remember that Jesus has a reputation. A reputation of associating with people like Zacchaeus. In fact, one of Jesus' early disciples was a tax collector, as Mark 2 says. So the common folk hated men like Zacchaeus, but Jesus was known to associate with sinners like this. Was Zacchaeus being brought to a place, to a moment in his life when he was able to see that there is something more? Was wealth losing its appeal? What was moving Zacchaeus? Was there something in his heart? Was there a desire, a hole in his heart that was not being filled? He wanted to see the Lord. Seeking to see Jesus Christ. He affixes himself to this traveling group who were constantly around Jesus as Jesus was healing and teaching and traveling on his way up to Jerusalem. But he is, as our text says, a short man, short stature. He can't see. So what does he do? He runs ahead and he climbs a sycamore tree. Now the sycamore tree, it's part of the ficus family. It was a cousin to the fig tree. It's well known for having low-lying branches, so it would be easy for a short man to climb. And here we have this rich chief tax collector running down the road, finding a tree, climbing the tree. Now, children, when's the last time you saw your grandfather climb a tree? Most older men gave up climbing trees long ago. Well, imagine seeing your grandfather climb a tree in a robe. That's pretty spectacular. Seeing a grown man run down the road to find a tree in a robe and climb that tree and sit there on a perch just to see this traveling prophet. There's something abnormal about this text. It's not what we expect. And Jericho is known as the city of palms, city of palm trees. And here we have a sycamore tree. A sycamore tree in the city of palms climbed up by Zacchaeus, the wee little man. Everything in this story is out of place. It is contrary to human nature or to what we expect. But what we do find is this. Zacchaeus has embraced what the Greeks said in John 12. Sir, we want to see Jesus. Sir, we want to see the Christ. Nothing is going to hinder, nothing is going to stand in my way. I'm going to forget my dignity, cast aside my wealth. I'm going to pursue this one whom they call Jesus Christ, seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And the good news, the surprising fact that we find by the end of the story is that we will see this wee little man in heaven one day, because there is a dramatic change that takes place. But that's in our third point. First, we find this gracious command. As we come to our second point, we find that the shocking scene continues. As the Savior passed that way, he looks up in a tree and he says, Zacchaeus, you come down, because I'm going to your house today. Jesus sees Zacchaeus, calls him by name, and starts giving gracious commands. In his mercy and grace, Jesus takes time to stop and bestow his blessings on this lost child. Hurry up, Zacchaeus, literally it says. Come down, for I must stay with you. I must stay at your house. This is not a normal exchange. It's not common to meet someone for the first time and tell them to take me into your house. This is the first time they've met. Jesus knows him by name and starts giving command. I just met you, but I know your name and I know what you need to do. You need to get out of that tree and you need to invite me to your house. And our text says that in verse 10. Isn't that why Jesus came? To seek and save the lost? Well, Zacchaeus is lost. And Jesus came to seek him, and he will save him. Luke 5, verse 32 says, Jesus came to call sinners to repentance. And here we find one of our first points of application, is that Jesus knows what we need. Jesus knows the needs of his people, and he calls his people by name. He knows how desperate we are. He knows how enslaved we are to things, how inflicted with warring passions. Jesus knows that we are lost, and yet Jesus knows exactly what to say. And he performs this wonderful act of mercy. Here our Lord is making it known that Jesus has come to save those that are lost. Take me into your house. Bring me into your home. And here we find God is making his home with us. It's a beautiful picture. Take me into your house. Take me into your presence. And in taking me into your presence, our text closes by saying, verse 9, salvation has come to this house. In taking the Savior to his house, literally, salvation comes to the house of Zacchaeus. This gracious command, because in it, Jesus is making his home with Zacchaeus. Jesus does not say to Zacchaeus, you need to change your life. You need to do all these things before I'm willing to associate with you. You need to check box A, B, and C. You need to amend your life. You need to become more holy before I will fellowship and associate with you. He says, Zacchaeus, get out of that tree and take me to your house. I need to be with you, and you need me to be with you. As Revelation 3 verse 20 says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him, eat with him. I will be fellowshipping with him. So here in this gracious command, we find that Jesus is commanding Zacchaeus to do the very thing that is necessary. Get out of the tree, take me home so that you can hear what I have to say. And in giving the command, he's fulfilling the very promise we read from Revelation chapter 3. Jesus welcomes himself. He invites himself into Zacchaeus' home. He doesn't give Zacchaeus an option. He doesn't say to Zacchaeus, it's in your best interest to invite me home. He doesn't say, if it's up to you, you can invite me home. He says, Zacchaeus, you're going to invite me home. You're going to get out of that tree and you're going to bring me to your house. And in bringing me to your house, salvation is coming to your home. As verse 9 says, the Savior makes his home with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus is identified not as a biological heir of Abraham, but a child of Abraham by faith, sharing the same faith with his forefather. As we now come to our third point, we see that in meeting Jesus Christ and hearing the words of Jesus Christ and Jesus inviting himself into the home of Zacchaeus, there is a drastic change that evidences itself. Look with me, first of all, in verse 6. Meeting Jesus Christ, how does Zacchaeus respond? So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. He gets out of the tree at once. He hurries to obey and receives Jesus with joy. We find two aspects. First of all, we find urgency. When Jesus gives a command, there is an urgency to obey. He does it quickly. He doesn't dally. He doesn't delay. And he doesn't question. He obeys. And he obeys with joy. There is an attitude. He obeys without complaining. He obeys. He delights in the fact that he has this privileged opportunity. There is a speedy and happy change of heart and life. That's true conversion. An urgency and a happiness to obey. That evidences itself in the life of a Christian, doesn't it? When we have the commands of the Lord, if we know who Jesus Christ is, if we have fellowship with him, if he lives in our heart by his Holy Spirit, if we are adopted by grace, if we're justified, if we're saved, and we have the command of our loving God to us, we receive that command and we want to obey with urgency, quickly and joyfully, cheerfully. It's not like the sulking child who drags his feet, doing only the minimum to get by. Rather, Zacchaeus is like a joyful spouse that delights to help and even does more than is expected, more than is asked. So the first change that evidences itself is a speedy, happy obedience. The second is found in verse 8. Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I've cheated anyone out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Half of my possessions I give to the poor on the spot. No questions asked. Half of everything I have, I give away freely. And if I've defrauded anyone, then I'm going to return that to them with a fourfold increase. Whatever I've, and it's the question in the Greek is answered in the positive. It's not if as if it's a possibility. It's more like, because I have, I'm going to return it to everyone I've defrauded. There is a generous and concrete expression of gratitude. He gives away this huge sum of money on the spot because he was rich. and he was very wealthy. And he seeks to make restitution with those whom he has cheated. Now here you can once again see that this is coming from the heart of someone who has truly experienced, someone who has met Jesus Christ. A Christian does not ask, what is the minimum? What is the least that I must do? Rather, what has God given me that I might return? What do I have the means? What do I have the opportunity to do and to give? Motivated by gratitude, not a begrudging. I'm not feeling my arm twisted behind my back to do something I don't want to do. As a Christian, I delight, I am cheerful, I am speedy, and I am generous. Doing more than is even asked of me. If someone says to you, go a mile, I'll go with you too. Someone asks something of me, I'm going to do even more than you ask. Because the law is not a burden. The law is not a heavy yoke placed on my shoulder. The law is not telling me to do something I don't want to do. The law is simply giving expression to my joy. I moved to obedience because of my gratitude for everything Christ has. If Christ has given me so much, here's Zacchaeus. He was rich. He was a man of privileged, powerful position. And he meets Jesus. He takes Jesus into his house. He hears the gospel. He hears of the forgiveness of sins. And he says, I'm going to give all my money away. This is not, these things I have taken a whole new shade. They're not important anymore. Because my sins are forgiven and I'm given an inheritance, a possession in glory. That makes the things of this world take a whole new light. As we saw this morning, obedience flows from a heart that has encountered Jesus Christ. As we saw in 2 Corinthians, seeing Jesus' glory changes us. Our attitude, our actions were transformed into joyful, obedient servants. The fact of the matter is, the church is never trying to force people to obey contrary to their will. We cannot force people to love. That's not our place. We can't force love. Christ, when he meets people, he changes them and they love because they were first loved. We're not trying to do something contrary to their will. That's that legalism that we're talking about this morning. Teaching the law, you must do this without experiencing grace. For Zacchaeus, seeing Jesus, welcoming Jesus into his home, changes his view on life. Right? He's not the same man. Once he met and talked with Jesus, took Jesus into his heart, into his home, there's a drastic life change. And that drastic change is contrasted to the previous section. I hope you still have your Bibles open to chapter 18, verse 18. And here we find the contrast. Okay. In chapter 18, verse 18, we met a rich man, a rich ruler, in fact. This rich ruler says to Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? This rich young ruler wanted to do something. Give me a command, Jesus. Tell me what I need to do in order to earn salvation. Jesus says, sell your possessions, give to the poor. Pricking the heart, pricking his conscience, because this man was enslaved. He was an idol to things. He was serving stuff. This rich man went away in verse 23 sad because he was rich and he didn't want to give away his possessions. Jesus' verdict is clear. It is hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven because the rich people tend to trust stuff. They depend on things. They look to material possessions to give them meaning and purpose, and they don't see the need for a savior. It's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich man to be saved. And the disciples say, It's impossible then. And Jesus says, you are absolutely right. It is impossible for a rich man to be saved with man. That is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So that door that was shut almost all the way in the previous chapter is now opened and exposed in all its beautiful glory. Here we find a rich man who was saved, not because of man, but because he met his Savior. He met Jesus. And in meeting Jesus, the rich man, he doesn't say, Zacchaeus does not say, what must I do? He knows what to do. He freely gives his possessions speedily and generously and concretely. He doesn't say, what do I need to do in order to be saved? He has been saved, and then from that saved heart, cheerful obedience flows forth. Because God is able to do the impossible and change the hearts of selfish, rich people to become generous and gracious. To conclude, seeing, knowing, hearing the voice of Jesus Christ changes us. When the Son of Man speaks and he calls his sheep by name, his sheep hear. They heed and they follow. Today we've seen that Jesus Christ calls Zacchaeus out of the tree in order to bring salvation to his house. But Jesus Christ calls to us as well. And if you know the voice of the Good Shepherd, then obedience is not something that is being pushed upon you, forced upon you against your will. It's not a heavy yoke, a burden. It's something that you want to do, you delight to do. If you know who Jesus Christ is, if you know what Christ has done for you, then speedy, joyful, concrete generosity will be seen. And God loves a cheerful giver. Praise God that our Savior has looked upon us, has called us, that He has invited Himself into our hearts and homes as well. May we all therefore learn from this wee little man who was up in a tree. Help us to be quick, joyful, and generous people as we respond to the blessings of knowing and hearing the voice of our Savior Jesus. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the blessings of knowing this Savior who called Zacchaeus by name and who went into Zacchaeus' home and changed his heart and life. May we as a people respond to that gospel in the same way that Zacchaeus did, with speedy, joyful, and concrete obedience. May we, O Lord, be thankful and grateful for all the blessings that we have received through Jesus Christ. In His name we pray. Amen. I hope you as families sing that song tonight. I had a request that we sing that today, but I hope you sing it, the Zacchaeus song, with your children tonight, as it is a favorite of a lot of our kids. But let's sing 446, Be Thou My Vision. 446, let's stand together and sing 446. 446.